So would you like to have your Bibles open? Psalm 23. Let me read it for you once more. At the minute I'm reading it in the NIV, as you remember a few weeks ago, I read it in the NIV and in the Authorised Version, and don't worry, I'm going to give the Authorised Version its fair crack of the whip, and I'm going to read it over the next weeks as well. But this morning I'm just going to read it in the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. That's our text for this morning. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, for these last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been looking at this 23rd Psalm, and I did warn at the very beginning that familiarity breeds contempt. This is a psalm which I learned by rote as a boy. I was one of those boys in the 60s where you went to school assembly and these were the things that you learned off by heart. And we know the words so well, and we know them by virtue of the hymns that we've sung. So many people know the 23rd Psalm, but do they really know it? And so familiarity breeds contempt, and we have to be willing to come to it and say, what do I not know? The Bible is not meant for lectures. The Bible is meant lovingly by God to be taken by us, and as it were like a great mirror to be held up so that we might see ourselves. There's very little in life, you know, which will hold up a mirror for you to really see yourself as you really are. And the Bible will wonderfully do this if you will allow it to speak. But of course, if you know the 23rd Psalm, and I don't need anybody to tell me anything else, I just know it. I'm so cocksure of myself, I just know what the 23rd... You won't learn very much, and the Word of God won't be all that it should be to you this morning. Now the Bible, God has given it to us for it to be a great cure. We are in need, and the 23rd Psalm sets this out. I've already shown that this is a man who's not going it alone. The Lord is his shepherd. Truth is that almost all of us are being shepherded by someone or something in life. We just don't like to admit it. Somebody's leading you. Look, face up to it. Someone is leading your life. You're following someone. You're almost certainly following the philosophy of this world. You just don't want to admit to it. This is a man who says, actually, I know all about all the other things, but the Lord is my shepherd, and he is the best shepherd of all. And because he's leading him through life, he lacks nothing. God meets all of his needs. God makes him to lie down. What a posture that is. Think of it. God makes this man to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures of the Word of God. The green pastures of the life of the church where the soul can be fed. Just think of it. Go through all of your life without any knowledge of the Word of God. No experience of the true church of Jesus Christ. Your soul completely famished. Here is a man who is led to green pastures. And then, of course, to quiet waters. And I was able to say last week, those quiet waters, of course, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person, of a human being, just like those of you who have gathered here this morning. Just listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. If you want to call yourself a Christian, if you want to say I'm led by the Good Shepherd, you'll need to be able to say that I know what the quiet waters are. I know the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. And I just stay here for a moment and I impress this upon you. Impossible to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit of God in your life. An impossibility. Impossible to call yourself a Christian without being made a new man or a new woman by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So this man is led by the Good Shepherd. He lacks nothing because he is being led by the Lord. He makes him to come and lie down in green pastures so that his soul will be fed. The quiet waters, the Holy Spirit is given to one's life. And then naturally, that which flows from this is what we lead. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And I've given the word, he restores my soul, some time in the past. But this morning I'm going to take it as this word. He refreshes my soul. And a number of people think that, and this may well be true, that refreshes my soul links in more naturally and perfectly as the word with he leads me beside quiet waters. Well, I leave that for you to decide for yourself. But I'm going to look at three things. Refreshment. I'm going to take the word in the NIV. Refreshment. And then God is the one who brings about that refreshment. So boys and girls, you can listen to me. Refreshment, the first thing. God is the one who brings the refreshment. And the part that he is refreshing, which is my soul. Now, the idea of refreshment has to do, of course, with this thought that we all can easily conjure up now, that my thirst needs quenching, and it fits perfectly with the quiet waters. Look, the truth is we're all dried out by sin. It's dried up our lives. It promises mountains and it delivers molehills. Sin breaks us, it withers us, it brings about death. We are the living example of it. Sin prevents us from prospering, and our souls just get screwed up and messed up and ruined. How is it possible that we couldn't see this? And all of our lives to put up with it, to be so parched. Think of it. Okay, you might say, I've prospered in my life and I've achieved this and I've got these possessions. But the truth is that in reality, we all know that our souls, our inner lives are barren. And that's why you're constantly on the lookout for the next thing. Of course you are. You need the next thing to give you pleasure and fulfillment. Does not matter whether it's the woman who offers her body on the street corner, or whether it's the next roller coaster ride. I don't know what it is, but it's the need to be fulfilled. Here we are, this morning, listening to this message, and we know whether our lives are like a dry and weary land. Elsewhere in the Psalms, David cries out, and he says, my life's like a dry and parched land where there is no water. My life's like a weary land. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, listen to a better man than me. Here is St. Augustine. He says this, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And it is true, our hearts are restless. And you're just going to go from this thing to that thing to the next thing. And you're going to do it all of your days. And it will see you all through this life to the very end of your life. And the need will be to have this high and that high, this pleasure and that one. All because your souls are parched. And do you know what? The soul that is refreshed is the soul that is invigorated. I like to quote this text. With the help of my God, I can scale a wall. There it is. I'm refreshed. I'm up for the climb. I can go the distance. The Lord's love becomes better than life. This is a refreshed life. This is what the Lord wants to give us. The Good Shepherd wants to lead my life out of a parched place, out of a dry place, out of an arid place, and to fill it with life. And you might ask yourself whether all of your church going and your christening and all the rest of it, and I've been going to church since I was a child, Am I refreshed within my soul, or is it still parched? Have I got the Lord's refreshment? Have I got those soul-quenching waters which only God can give me? The prophet Jeremiah, he says something very interesting which rolls on down the ages to our times and speaks to us. God speaks to him like this, and he prophesies, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And what it is, it's like this, that we go after all the things in this life, trying to fill these things, as it were, with refreshment, as if with water. And by the time we've got them back to our souls, it's all drained away. It's as if God has made everything in this world full of holes. Always drains away. Because our souls are never at rest until they're at rest with God himself. And so God wants to bring us out of that barren place. And he says through this word this morning, are you running on empty? I'll fill you up. I'll refresh you. Jesus said, come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. And I just quickly tell you, the best rest for your soul is where you can actually say, I'm no longer guilty for my sin. My sins have been pardoned. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer guilty. My conscience is clear. I've been removed from hell to heaven. I've got a new journey in life. What a refreshing thing this is. What a beautiful and glorious thing is the gospel. The Christian who is a true Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, can say, I lack nothing because I am God's child, because he has refreshed my soul. And you know this morning whether that's true of you. You just know it. It's not for me to judge you. It's for you to say, I know that my soul has been refreshed by God, and I am a child of God. Best place to start this morning, if you want to become a Christian, is to say, this is the truth about me. I know that this man, what he's saying this morning, is touching the reality of my life. So it's divine refreshment that we need. But the text says this, he refreshes my soul, and I like this. He refreshes my soul. So whether it's restoration or whether it's refreshment, it has to be God who does it. And he must do all of it, not part of it. There's no DIY in salvation. There's no do it yourself, I'll add my little bit and I'll help God out with the bits that he can't do. No, it's like this. The water of life, which only God can give to build my broken life, that water he must give. It means this, that outside of Christ, as we are, if we're unbelievers, if we're not Christians, we are helpless and we are hopeless. He must come and he must rescue us. Now, got a simple picture for most of you. Picture one of the great deserts, the Gobi Desert or the Sinai Desert. I was there in 1976. Not long after one of the great Israeli wars. And actually, when I was there, I went on one of these trips for 2 weeks. And we were taken by ex-Israeli soldiers. I've never forgotten what they said to us. Slightly in jest, a number of people were rather frightened after they'd spoken to us. They said, the water is only for drinking, not for cleaning teeth, not for washing. Anybody who does so will be shot. That's what they said. I remember it. And so, as you can imagine, no one even got their toothbrush out. No way. So imagine the great deserts of the world. No compass. I'm alone. I walk round in circles. I can't save myself. I'm in a wilderness situation. You can see it all very easily. No food, no water. And death is absolutely certain. I need somebody to come out and rescue me. I need somebody who cares for my life deeply enough, even to risk their own life, to come out and rescue me. So the text says, he refreshes my soul. And this is fundamental to understanding what it is to become a Christian. I need to go to him for him to refresh me. He needs to come to me to rescue me. I can't help him out. This morning, look at your own soul. Does it need help? Does it need help? I'm glad to say that this morning, I can't do it for you. This church can't do it for you. It must be the Lord himself who comes and administers all of the help and all of the care and all of the compassion that we need. And don't we know that God is so determined and interested to save us, to refresh my soul, not to leave it parched, not to leave me in a desert climate so that I shrivel up and die eventually? Do you need any encouragement to know how interested he is in the likes of you? It was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. It wasn't that we were going out to him, but him coming out to us. It was not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. In every way, the Bible goes out of its way to tell us that we need him and that he is willing to come to our lives. I draw your attention back to John's Gospel, chapter 4. You don't have to turn to it. Jesus said to the woman at the well, you listen carefully. He says to her, if you had known who was speaking to you, you would have asked of me and I would have given you living water. Now I beg you, I ask you this morning, can you not see these words? I would have given. What more can the Lord say to sinful people? I would have given to you. I would give it to you. It is in my heart to give. And if you had have known who it was, you would have asked. And all I can assume this morning is those of you who are not true Christians, you have not known who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You still don't know. You're still in the dark as to who he is. You don't realize the poison, putrid waters of this life, and you're just going to go on digging your own wells, produce such filthy, putrid water, and go on drinking them. And the Lord says, if you had have known who it was, I would have given it to you. How many have never become Christians because they wouldn't cry out? They couldn't cry out. They won't cry out. Lord, give me a drink. Give me yourself. Give me your living water. And I think that some people, they need to be reminded of this. I need to tell you this morning. The Lord didn't come to judge or to condemn people. How often I've met that, and people have got this notion that Jesus is the one who's, God is the one who's come, he's come to save us. This is the message of the gospel, not to judge or condemn, but to save us. And I take you back to the desert. Imagine that picture of the one who is in the desert. He's dying. He has nothing. There is no future. There is no escape. But he has a flare and a helicopter goes overhead. Does he use it? Does he value his life? Of course he does. He fires that flare and alerts the rescue. The Lord Jesus said, had you have known who I was, you would have asked of me and I would have given it to you. And he would have delivered us from our lost estate. Just look at your arid souls this morning. And because I know the nature of what it is to be an unbeliever, because I once was one, I've not forgotten. Do you think I have forgotten? Do you think the years have passed me by and I've forgotten? Of course not. I remember it so very well. And albeit that you're in a desert, even if the Lord would come by himself to rescue you, you'll still say, thank you very much, but I'd like to help myself. I wonder how many of you know that 1960s film with, I was going to say Spencer Tracy, Liam?
James Stewart,
yes. Fantastic old film. The Flight of the Phoenix. Wonderful. There's been a remake now. And because this is Hollywood, they don't get rescued. Of course they don't. They rescue themselves. They pull the plane apart. And they rebuild another plane. Wonderful film. Highly unlikely. But anyway, they rebuild a plane. They get themselves out. Of course they do. This is us. I'll get myself out, thank you very much. I'll rescue myself. Beware of doing it yourself. And ask yourself this morning, since I know really that there is no way out from this arid soul of mine to be refreshed, let me send up the flare. Emergency flare, Lord, come and save me. And he would. Because that's why he came. To save sinners just like we are. Well, quickly. He refreshes my soul. When God made Adam, he made him a living soul. He made him a living being. That is, the entirety of him came to life because God breathed into him. And when we look back, we see Adam not at all weak. We see him strong. We see him perfect. His life was full. His life never needed topping up. He was never running on empty. All of God's fullness was in him. It was only when sin came that he hid himself from God. And ever since then, we've been hiding ourselves from God. Although we're running on empty and our lives are parched and arid, we still stand at a distance from God. And we just barely get by. You know why I read the Valley of Dry Bones? Because that's exactly what we are. Without the Spirit of God in us, we're just an empty shell. Tragic thing is that we actually know it. So is your soul, your being, your life, is it this morning one in which you could say honestly before the Lord God that it is a soul that has been refreshed? My being. That's the entirety of who I am. My mind, my heart, my will, my everything. He refreshes my soul, that is my being. Now someone will say, well, it's too late for me, I can't be refreshed. I've been in the desert too long. I've felt like that very much before I was converted. Sin's done its worst. All my lips are all cracked and the skin is burnt off me. I'm parched. I'm on my last legs. I'll never make it. My life is ebbing away. And some people feel like this. And when you preach the gospel to them, they say, I can't do anything. Of course you can't do anything. Your life is ebbing away. And if you care to, in your own time, you could read the second chapter of Jonah. And that's why I include it on the card. But I'll read you a text from Jonah 2. You don't need to turn to it. He said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer. My prayer rose to your holy temple. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And so it does. So when my life was ebbing away, when I was slipping away, when I was on a slippery slope, when there was no hope for me, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. And then salvation came to him. Which part of him? All of him. He was saved in his entirety. The Lord restores, refreshes my soul, my very life, in its entirety. So, time's gone. Ask yourself this morning, am I restored? Am I refreshed? Has God done this work in my life? Because if he hasn't done it, it hasn't been done. If you're the worker of it, it will be undone. If God has worked it, it will last for all eternity. And then ask yourself, is my being renewed? Is my soul refreshed? And if the answer is no, it's because you never sent out the distress signal. You can send it out this morning. Of course you can. And you can call upon the Lord. And so I repeat this word, ask him. Ask him, ask him, ask him. Ask him to save you. Because he is a gracious God. And he receives those who come to him in faith and in repentance. Lovely text. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. May it be so this morning that many of us would say, perhaps even for the first time, the Lord has done this in my life, and then the Lord be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Amen.